More generally, the Black Power movement became addicted to violence, setting the tone for the white left. H. Rap Brown had exhorted his followers to do what John Brown did, pick up a gun and go out and shoot our enemy. Malcolm X repeatedly exhorted blacks to employ any means necessary. James Forman, a leader of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, declared that if he were assassinated, he'd want, in retaliation, 10 war factories destroyed. One Southern governor, 2 mayors, and 500 racist white cops dead. Good thing he belonged to an avowedly nonviolent group. Benjamin Chavez, the future head of the NAACP, first attained national recognition when he was arrested and convicted as a member of the Wilmington 10, a group that allegedly conspired to firebomb a grocery store and then shoot the police when they responded to the scene. And always and everywhere, there were the Panthers, in their paramilitary garb and black shirts, sporting fascistic or militaristic ranks and titles. Minister of Defense, Minister of Information, robbing banks, calling for the slaughter of pigs and honkies, staging ambushes for police, kidnapping judges and children, and calling for a separate black state. Meanwhile, what of the supposedly fascistic American right? While the New Left relentlessly denounced the Founding Fathers as racist white males, and even mainstream liberals ridiculed the idea that the text of the Constitution had any relevance for modern society, conservatives were launching an extensive project to restore the proper place of the Constitution in American life. No leading conservative scholar or intellectual celebrated fascist themes or ideas. No leading conservative denigrated the inherent classical liberalism of the United States political system. To the contrary, Barry Goldwater, Ronald Reagan, William F. Buckley Jr., and the conservatives around National Review dedicated themselves to restoring the classically liberal vision of the founders. What confused the left then and now about American conservatism is that love and support for one's country do not necessarily put one on the road to fascism. Patriotism is not the same thing as extreme nationalism or fascism. The Nazis killed a great many German patriots whose love of their homeland was deep and profound. In a sense, one of the Jews' greatest offenses was that they were patriotic Germans. It was in the 1960s that the left convinced itself that there is something fascistic about patriotism and something perversely patriotic about running down America. Anti-Americanism, a stand-in for hatred of Western civilization, became the stuff of sophisticates and intellectuals as never before. Flag burners became the truest patriots because dissent, not just from partisan politics, but from the American project itself, became the highest virtue. In 2003, the professor at Columbia who hoped America would face a million Mogadishus is a patriot in the eyes of the left. But Americans eager to maintain limited government, of all things, are somehow creeping fascists. Witnessing how the brutality and wanton destruction of the Nazis had swept Hitler to power, the novelist Thomas Mann wrote in his diary that this was a new kind of revolution, without underlying ideas, against everything nobler, better, decent, against freedom, truth, and justice.